Good evening. Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the fiscal year 2019-20 results of Unieuro and update on COVID-19 crisis. I'd like to remind you that all participants and attendees are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, you will have an opportunity to ask questions. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, you can press star followed by zero. Now, I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti-Monterastelli, CEO of Unieuro. Mr. Nicosanti, the floor is yours.
Welcome back, and thank you for being here with us. I've been told that there are many, many attendees online, and it's not difficult to guess why. We are here to comment on the results of 2019-20 fiscal year, the best in the entire Unieuro's history, but also to provide you with an update on the current status of the business in light of the emergency underway. I'd like to tell you that we will deal with the first item, results, in a very quick way, and then we will focus on the actions that we have adopted to fight the emergency and obviously also Q&A. I'd like to start straight from slide six. Here we provide you with the usual overview on the market based on the GfK data. In the time period March 2019, February 2020, the consumer electronics and household appliances retail slightly grew by 0.3%, thus overturning in the second half the -0.8% booked in the first half. The excellent sales of the peak season enabled the offline channel of the market to contain the annual decrease to 2.5%, with small and medium stores being penalized because of the shift towards large stores and web of the telephones department. The online raised in total by 16%, rose, sorry, and it now accounts for 70% of the total market. Therefore, it gained 2 percentage points of penetration, and the same had been reached the previous year. This is definitely a trend that will abruptly accelerate in the year, the current year, due to the epidemic, but we will go back to this. Unieuro, both in the online and in the offline channel, has largely outperformed the market, as well as in all its different product categories. In particular, as you can see on the right of the slide, we have reported staggering growth also in gray and brown goods, which at market level were under pressure. As far as white goods are concerned, we have confirmed our leadership both in stores and online. I'd like to remind you that it is the most profitable segment following services, so plus 24% of consumer revenues is definitely a noteworthy result. Generally speaking, Unieuro's turnover improved by yet another 16%. We are now on page seven of the presentation. We have basically carried on along the growth path of the last 3 years since when we listed our company. This time, we were able to expand our revenues by 784 million, 500 million of which thanks to acquisitions, the latest one being the Sicilian stores, former Pistone. We also have had organic growth. In the fiscal year concerned, we have reported the best like-for-like performance for many years, namely plus 6.5%. The credit here goes to both the online channel and the network of stores. The former rose by 23.5% in sharp acceleration in the second half, and once again, it outperformed the market largely. The revenues generated by the stores rose too, like-for-like, thanks to the strength of our salespeople and also the desire to consolidate our leadership. I'd like to add to that the network of affiliated partners also was very rewarding, especially thanks to the great performance of shop-in-shops in Hyper, La Grande E hypermarkets, and they are now back to run rate. The indirect channel actually went up by 14%. These achievements did not come along by chance, but they are the result of a specific strategy, the same that we have been pursuing before our listing, and the same strategy that it has been broken down into the three pillars you see on slide 10. During the fiscal year, we have worked on proximity by opening 18 new stores and closing down six of them in order to rationalize the network. Among the new stores, we have 14 new stores in Sicily, and I'd like to remind you all that it was a region where that was not covered by us. At the end of February, another store in Bergamo. The last one, the latter, is very important because it is the first one of five stores provided for in the agreement with CIA Conad. In 2020, other four will follow. All of them will be located in the former Auchan hypermarkets. They were turned into Spazio Conad. Our target is to replicate the positive experience we have had in the large retailers network with Finiper, obviously, if the COVID-19 allows us to. Our effort in terms of customer experience paid off also in the past year. The Net Promoter Score of the direct channel rose further and reached 46.3 points. We are very proud of that, as much as we are proud of having been awarded the prize Retailer of the Year for our category, which goes to say that consumers recognize, acknowledge, and appreciate the value added we offer them, also and especially in terms of service. Finally, in order to improve our retail mix, we have kept betting on white goods, also private label, and on services by launching some new ones. Precisely services, especially the most innovative ones, will definitely make the difference in the phase two of the COVID emergency. On the other hand, you are a leader not just because you make more money, but because you are able to innovate. Before moving on to the COVID situation, I'd like to leave the floor to our CFO, Italo Valenti, who will walk you through the financial economic results of the previous year. Once again, these results were our best ever. Italo, the floor is yours. We present our results before IFRS 16, although we are considering a change in our reporting to move past this transition phase. In the future, we think we might adopt EBIT adjusted as a reference measurement of corporate profitability, therefore aligning to our listed peers. EBIT, as a matter of fact, is little impacted by IFRS 16. In our case, the increase amounts to 5.7 million euros. For the time being, in continuity with what we have been done so far, we comment on EBITDA adjusted, which reached our all-time record in this year of 82.1 million euros, up 11.6%. The margin displays a tiny drop, 3.4%. In slide 14, we basically understand its evolution year-on-year. The growth was driven by the improved gross profit, which was in turn lifted by higher sales volumes. The expansion of the business also determined an increase in cost, but less than proportional to revenues. The less incidence on revenues of the cost of personnel, rents, marketing costs, and general costs, therefore offset the decrease in the gross margin and the impact of logistics costs. The latter is the result of multi-year trends, that are linked to the rise of the home delivery, but also of the fact that the secondary hub platform in Carini has become fully operational. Let's now take a look at the adjustments that are shown in the next slide. First of all, as we can see, the emergency we are experiencing has already produced some results on the financial statement of last that we ended in February. Impact has to do to the write-down of receivables and inventories, which was necessary out of caution in light of what is happening. Without considering the impact of COVID-19, amounting to €3.9 million, adjustments would have gone down even further vis-à-vis the previous year, from €16.4 to €14.3 million. By the way, we have obtained an insurance compensation for the serious theft we suffered in 2017 in the former logistics platform. And this turned into €2.6 million, and it had an opposite effect as it was booked as an extraordinary income. On slide 16, we see for the first time the performance of EBIT adjusted post IFRS 16. Thanks to depreciation and write-downs rising by only 6.7%, i.e. proportionally less than revenues, EBIT adjusted went up by 14.5% to €53.1 million, stable, unchanged at 2.2% as a percentage of sales. Net profit adjusted was impacted by the tax management, which was affected by the lower deferred tax assets. In some way, we can say that this is also an effect of the COVID-19 emergency. I'd like to underscore that the amount of tax deductible past losses, well, this amount still amounts to €346 million. And during the year in concern, we have used 32 million of them. And finally, the financial overview is reported on page 70. The net financial position was already positive at the end of last year, and it has further improved and is now roughly around €30 million. This was possible thanks to the operating management and the contribution of the working capital, in particular the component linked to the extension of warranties. The improvement took place in spite of spending for €27.8 million for CAPEX, dividends paid last June for €21.4 million, and the acquisition we performed in Sicily. We should highlight that the purely accounting impact of IFRS 16 on the financial position is very significant for us. As of February 29th, it amounted to €477.6 million, basically the net current value of the rents for our stores, headquarters and warehouses. In terms of balance sheet, total CapEx decreased from €38 to €31 million. In the previous fiscal year, we had borne the extraordinary investment for the new logistics platform in Piacenza. In 2019, on the other hand, we have started an important technology investment, wherefore we will adopt a new ERP system that is more in line with the size and the complexity of our company. It is a crucial key activity that will go on in spite of the current ongoing emergency. This is the end of my contribution. I give the floor back to Giancarlo to give us some colors on the COVID-19 situation. Thank you, Italo, and let's now move to the most topical item that you can find on page 20. So it is not very useful to recap what has been going on in the past 2 months because everybody knows about it. The ongoing epidemic, the measures to fight it, the lockdown, the limitations to commercial activities. You see, since the end of February, we coexist, so to speak, with all of that. And on a daily basis, we must react and respond to an unusual and critical situation. The consumer electronics segment, by the way, was one of the least hit in the retail field. Many of the products we sell are necessary for the new kind style of life, let's call it this way, that is imposed on us by the epidemics, and our stores were only partially forced to close. As a matter of fact, the 2 weeks of full close down of our direct network, it was the result of a choice, because we thought that first and foremost it was important to protect people, employees, customers, everybody. Immediately after that, we set ourselves the target to protect the company and together with it, all its stakeholders, shareholders included. Therefore, over the past few months, we have gradually adopted containment measures for the effects, harmful effects that the emergency can produce on our revenues, on our profitability and financial soundness. On slide 21, you can definitely see all the details of the managerial actions that we adopted. As I was saying, priority number one for us has always been guaranteeing health. From the very first minute, we have adopted very stringent sanitation measures in Piacenza, our logistics hub, so that to prevent the core of our logistics from being impacted. And we have equipped all our employees in the headquarters, we have equipped them for smart working. The management and administration activity runs smoothly. With the volunteer closing down of stores from 13 to 29th of March, we then had 2 weeks available to make them fully safe. We have sanitized them fully. We have purchased individual protection devices for the 1,700 people staffing the stores. We have created special lanes and regulated entrance in order to comply with the social distancing rules. As if this was not enough, we have taken out a health policy to cover the COVID risk for the whole corporate population in order to concretely help our ill colleagues, luckily enough, not many of them. And then, finally, we have reached out to our community, to Italy, very seriously hit by the epidemic, by donating 2,000 smartphones to hospitals and retirement homes in the regions that were most hit. And today they are being used to make the deceased, the ill people communicate, because the ill people are very often isolated and intubated. On slide 22, we have summed up the actions that we carried out to protect the business. It is pretty clear that the retail revenues have been impacted since March, impacted by the epidemic. Following the volunteer closing down of some stores, as of March the 30th, we have started a gradual reopening program of the network of stores. And now, 98% of direct non-travel stores are open since this week. Most of them is already open for 11 hours a day, Monday to Saturday, and from March the 17th, we will open on Sundays too, at least for now, except for Sicily and Veneto regions, where the regional regulations do not allow us to do so. The traffic in stores has obviously plummeted, but sales are gradually increasing again. And last week, there was a year-on-year decrease of 46%. Of course, it's a noteworthy drop, but it's definitely much better than the minus 100% of the second half of March. Before, during, and after our volunteer closure of stores, the online channel was the main point of contact of customers with UniEuro. Therefore, it was a priority for us to strengthen it, not just to generate sales, but also and above all to offer a specific service when needed to those customers who will definitely come back to our stores in the future. Therefore, we have lowered to €49 the minimum ticket for free delivery. We have shifted our marketing efforts towards e-commerce, and we have really gone out of our way so that everything could run smoothly. In spite of the unavoidable logistics difficulty linked to the home delivery, especially at the very beginning of the outbreak. The results was exceptional, with orders and revenues up triple digit and performance always consistently higher than the markets. In spite of that, the first quarter is nevertheless bound to book a significant reduction in revenues. That's why we had to act upon costs too. First of all, we decided to use the furlough scheme for the Cura Italia degree. It is active in rotation for nearly all of our employees for a cumulated total of 9 weeks. A new decree is now incoming, and there will be an extension for at least 9 further weeks. As a token, as a display of solidarity, the board of directors and the whole management waived part of their salary for the months of April and May. But most of all, we are working on very important cost-cutting measures. As we speak, negotiations are ongoing with all the lessees of our stores, but we have already intervened on maintenance and management of costs, on advisory items and also lower impact items. Cost-cutting and new rescheduling of payments will also impact the balance sheet of the company that you can see on page 23. This slide contains the most important information because there is an extremely high level of uncertainty on the evolution of the situation. We have analyzed scenarios, we have prepared stress tests, but the truth is that nobody knows what will happen in the future. So the must here is to be ready for everything with a sound capital structure and as many levers as possible that can be triggered when needed. In order to save liquidity from the very beginning, from the beginning of March, we started negotiating at all levels with our suppliers of goods and services, and we have already achieved important results. These are very tough negotiations, but they are facilitated by long-standing relations that we have with our suppliers, and also they are made easier thanks to the credibility UniEuros enjoys after 80 years of heritage. The objective is to better reschedule payments without interrupting or disrupting supply flows and optimizing inventories in the light of the new consumption levels. Limiting expenditure is a priority today. Therefore, we have suspended investments on our stores, starting from the acquisitions that nevertheless are part of our DNA and will run up back on top of our objectives in a future that we hope will be as soon as possible. Parallel to that, we have drawn down part of the 125 million of revolving credit lines we have access to, and the whole of the entire liquidity we obtained is still available so that we can tackle with the needs of the next few months. We are also very carefully considering the pros and cons of accessing the finances guaranteed by SACE, as provided for in the liquidity decree. We definitely need to take into account all the different possibilities, but we need to be free to act when as we please. For this reason, the Board of Management decided to submit to the General Meeting the proposal of not paying out the dividend. In a critical situation like the current one, we think that there is no alternative to that. And if you think about it, it is paradoxical, considering the fact that we achieved the highest net profit in the history of UniEuro. Yet, our corporate soundness is our really priority, and shareholders are definitely aware of that. Before moving on to the Q&A, I'd like to conclude my presentation with food for thought. From the very beginning, we focused on the activities needed to guarantee corporate continuity and balance sheet soundness. This will enable us to overcome the critical stage of the emergency. The new normal will definitely not be the same as the old one. Our habits will change, and our consumers' habits will change because they will prefer to shop online more often, and they will look for a new concept of proximity. But our business model was and still is the right one. We have invested in the web and omnichannel in good time, and we built a very light organization with a centralized organization that will definitely work also in the new scenario. In the past 2 months, we have proven that we can adapt very easily. The current and future difficulties, although challenges, do not scare us. Thank you very much. Now we are ready to answer your questions.
Chorus Call operator here. We will now start the Q&A session. First question, Niccolò Storer, Kepler.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have three questions. The first one has to do with your debt, and in particular, the fact that you might access the liquidity decree. Have you maybe performed some scenario simulation in order to understand under which circumstances you would be forced to access this measure? The second question has to do with the possible extension of the furlough scheme. If this was to be confirmed, do you think that you could fully benefit from it or be fully entitled as you are doing for the first 9 weeks? The last question, whether we could have more specific color on the cost-cutting measures that you mentioned for, you know, lessees, consultancy, and all the rest.
I'll answer the first question now. Of course, in this uncertainty, the most useful thing is to do some sensitivity tests and to test stress some situations. Of course, we have some ranges in mind of a financial need, but we are also aware that depending on how sales develop in the near future, there is also the possibility not to avail ourselves of this kind of financing and maybe find alternative solutions. We want to be very flexible and ready to respond to each unexpected event, and this is the really the only way to tackle such an uncertain time. Yes, we know down well what our needs are in case some negative scenarios occur, but we are also fully aware of the possibility that more positive scenarios might turn out to be the case. As far as the question on the furlough scheme is concerned, well, today we have part of our employees enjoying this scheme because, as I was saying before, nearly all our stores are open, and actually, from next Sunday or this Sunday, definitely from May the 17th, all stores will be open all over across Italy, except for Sicily and Veneto, as I was saying before. This will force us, in a good way, to have longer working hours
So we will have to decrease the hours in the furlough scheme of employees. Currently, half of the staff is part of this scheme. But you see, since when we reopened, well, the beginning was pretty slow, but in the past few days, there has been a pretty fast return to normal of a pre-COVID revenues and sales. So our intention is that of really exploiting the furlough scheme as much as possible in order to contain costs. But at the same time, we are also flexible, knowing fully well that when consumers, as it is, seems to be the case from the beginning of this week, so with the end of the lockdown and the opening of the phase two, consumers seem to be once again crowding the stores. The first 3 days were very positive for us. So the target is that of exploiting the furlough scheme as little as possible, because this would mean that there is an increase in sales of stores. I'd like to remind everybody that even when our stores were closed for the reasons that I mentioned before, there's always been people staffing the stores, because you see, all our points of sale were serving consumers for the home delivery, for the online orders, because shipments originated at the store. And for us, this was a service that really helped us. So we were able to provide a service even during the 2 weeks of closure. And then as far as cost-cutting is concerned, maybe Italo should answer this question, but what we have tried to do from the very beginning is to bring down to zero, wherever possible, all the costs that would not affect the level of service of our structure. So we started from basically zeroing everything, and then from then we gradually once again started to take on costs, because they meant that revenues was going up gradually again. So as of today, I could say that this is quite a high figure, but I have to add that our hope is that we can we will be forced to bear costs, because this means that we're going back to a pre-COVID normalcy, and this is our objective. I have to say that in the past few weeks, we have witnessed a continuous improvement on the previous week, and this augurs well for the month that we started today, whereby some restrictive measures have already been lifted and consumers can now roam around, and we of course wish for a further loosening of the measures against the people movement, because we saw that even in a situation like this, you see, consumers want to buy many of the products. You see, we are all forced at home, and many students are still at home. We have changed our lifestyle, so whatever might be needed to guarantee a better quality of life in the family means that we will be selling many of the products we have on display. CFO speaking. Yes, as far as the cost-cutting activity is concerned, well, we have reviewed all our contracts one by one in terms of rents and also in terms of maintenance and in terms of services at the stores. And to say as early as now to what kind of cost reduction we might have at the end of the year in terms of amount, it is a bit early. What we can say is that it will be quite a noteworthy amount, and the more so, the more the situation becomes difficult in the future. So we will have to wait and see. The first quarter, for example, when we have a first indication of the effect of our actions. Yes, thank you. A follow-up question, if I may, on the workforce. Social distancing measures today, do they force you to keep the stores open with less staff than you would have, regardless of how many people actually step into the store or not? Or is this not the case? I did not understand the question, the CEO says. So I was wondering whether the social distancing measures force you to work with less staff per store vis-a-vis the ones that you could have had before the epidemic, regardless of the traffic in the store. Well, of course, this situation is much different, strikingly different to what it was like a few weeks ago. Social distancing actually forces us to have some special lanes to access the stores and also lanes inside the store itself. And we're not getting used to the concept of queuing up for something. Obligation there is to safeguard the health of our employees and customers. So today, it all depends on the number of employees, the size of the store, and there is no obligation, so to speak, here, but we do pay as much attention as possible to maintain social distancing so that inside the store there must be a suitable number of customers. As far as employees are concerned, well, at the beginning they could volunteer to staff the stores because at the very beginning there was a lot of fear. Workforce were scared because, of course, these salespeople are constantly in contact with customers. So at the beginning, there was a fear, and I think it's pretty understandable. So we opened stores and asked staff, whoever wanted to work on a voluntary basis, and there was a great response from our workforce. And we chose the number of staff depending on the store potential. And weekly, we would change the number of staff according to the traffic or the number of people queuing outside of the stores because we wanted to respect social distancing measures. Thank you. Next question, Andrea Bonfà, Banca Akros. Yes, good afternoon. Just a few questions. First of all, can you tell us a bit more about the evolution of revenues from -46% and also the performance of the last few days, where the reopening was on a national level, and a comment on cash generation in a situation like this. So vis-a-vis a normal situation like last year, the lack of profitability in this quarter and the next, or this year in general. I was wondering whether your suppliers are available, are actually to postpone their payments so that you avoid some peaks in cash absorption. So how are things going here?
So it is going as follows. I would have to say that this went beyond our expectations. You see, we have enjoyed long-standing relationship with many of our suppliers, and we have always behaved in a proper manner with them. And by the way, our company grew too in the meantime, 800 million more in 4 years. This definitely shows the growth of our company. So although in spite of the difficulty, if you had asked me this question 2 months ago, I would have dreaded the answer a little more, dread the answer that I'm about to give you now. We are at a situation now when, after changing the stock of the goods in our stores, and also we changed the payment terms with our suppliers. We have asked them to postpone the payment terms for the purchases we are making now. And this is precisely what we were saying before, because thanks to this, we are thinking about accessing this financing. So we're talking to the banks about this, and we can be free to decide whether to accept this or to say, "No, we can do it by ourselves." Of course, we will try and assess accurately what the cost would be of having higher credit lines than the ones we have now, and we'll then decide whether to avail ourselves of that kind of financing and funding with SACE or the credit lines we have now. And this because in the past few months, we have worked hard in order to be able to say we can stand on our own 2 feet. And then as far as revenues evolution is concerned, we started from revenue zero, last half of March, -100%, and now we are at -46%. You can understand what the progression evolution was in April. What I said before, definitely, well, I don't want to exaggerate, but I would say that since May the 4th, revenues are now back to their pre-COVID normalcy. You see, it's just 3 days, obviously, so I'm being very careful about what I say. One more question about the online revenues, 193%. Is this the 18th week of the year? Yes, yes, that's right. But we can say that since March the 1st, the overall performance, can you give us an idea of how the online is going? Well, it's going very well, with increases. Well, you see, we have a dynamic market here that changes continuously because, honestly speaking, the habits of customers and consumers are gradually changing. So I can say that from the beginning of the crisis until today, I would say that the figure is very similar to the progressive one. We have tripled our revenues the last few weeks, but we think,
generally speaking, that the online can still be high, but there will also be an increase in the retail revenues. Thank you very much.
Yeah, for makeup partners.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'd like to ask you whether there are some high risks on the goodwill in 2020. Of write-off in the goodwill 2020, have you done simulations? Yes, Italo can answer this question.
Yes. When we presented the results of the impairment tests on the goodwill, when we presented the financial statements, no need emerged. I would like to say that the headroom and the room available is still large. Also, applying some sensitivity parameters that were very stressful and challenging on the decrease in profitability and results in the 5 years in the terminal value. So in terms of goodwill and write-offs, no problem for the company.
And do you think you're going to do some write-offs on the inventories on next year? And on the next quarter, maybe?
Well, it is early to say. Well, it depends on the future scenario. Well, out of precaution, we have set aside significant resources, a few million euros, on the inventory write-off fund. What will happen in the future? We don't know, obviously. Maybe there will be a need to increase this fund, this stock depreciation reserve. Well, it will depend on how the situation evolves. In the first few months was there a large impact on the cost margin erosion? Was there an erosion of the cost margin? Well, there has been an erosion, that's for sure, because so there were some IT or telephone were the ones that performed better, but yet they are the less profitable ones. So on this front, it will be very important to pursue our activity on cost cutting, because the issue of costs is fundamental for us when margins are eroded. All the negotiations we are having with landlords for rents and internally for some costs is basically moving towards a direction. Do you have some numbers comparison of this IQ and the other one? Sorry, I did not hear the question. Do you have some preliminary numbers of comparison? Well, the month of March is not significant.
because the whole network was closed for 2 weeks. April just ended. So I think that in a few days, we might have more significant results. But for the time being, we see a shift in sales from one category to the other, but it's still difficult to quantify. Thank you.
Next question, Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca.
Good evening. I have a few questions. Comment on your competitive scenario, what your competitors are doing, whether they have reopened their stores or not, and what the scenario is like there. Second question on marketing. If you can focus on digital marketing. The third question is on logistics. Considering the current trend, more online, less offline, in the past 2 months, Mr. Tortora, sorry, you have to speak louder. We can't hear your question. Third question is to do with logistics. Considering the trend in the online, offline, to what extent have logistics costs increased? And the fourth question, we saw the trend in the DOS online. Is the indirect performing better or worse vis-à-vis the retail, DOS? So, today, after 2 months, when the market scenario has changed completely, it is not easy to guess what the trends will be. Of course, we have daily indications, and we are building scenarios that are pretty consistent with the daily performance of the different sales channels. So it's not easy to answer questions about accurate figures. So, competitive share was the first question. Well, first of all, our largest competitor, they stayed closed longer than us as a chain, and then they started reopening in a slower manner and with less stores open. As far as the buying groups are concerned, some of them closed their doors, some others didn't. So we can't really say there was a uniform situation across Italy. But I can give you an answer to this question. At this moment in time, we are a company that is not obliged to change its business model, and this is important. Because our business model rewards proximity, and here I talk about the indirect channel. Our business partners affiliated responded better than the direct stores, because consumers, they prefer to go to their neighborhood store or local store. because before it was not possible to drive to the shopping malls. So our local business partners responded much better, rather our retail. Of course, with the volumes and revenues you know about. The important thing for us is that we have a business model that lends itself very well to also coexist with a complicated scenario. We have two online sales channels. Honestly, I think that we're really fortunate to have two channels that really responded immediately and met the needs of our customers. We have an omni-channel concept that actually is the best possible reaction and answer to a consumer that basically changed their customer journey. And I think that no big change is called for here, or is required here. Of course, our customers are moving together with our company and are following our proposal. I think we have an advantage or a head start over any other competitor because nobody has both physical stores and online. Many buying groups, they don't even have any online channel. Nobody has, affiliated online and offline. So the formula with which we have built our business model is a formula and a strategy which in such a complicated moment has responded much better than many of our competitors. And probably we'll be able to stand on our own two feet without availing ourselves of the state money or financing. So this is the best way to say that our company was able to respond timely. As far as marketing is concerned and logistics, well, maybe Bruna can answer on marketing and logistics, Luigi Fusco. Then if you have other questions, I'm available. Good evening. For marketing, so if I understood the question properly, whether we can shrink marketing costs. Well, first of all, we have to say that digital marketing, it cannot be squeezed because the results we are achieving there go hand in hand with an increase of that. The ATL component, more classic component, and this is the first true change that we saw. I don't know whether you noticed the fact that we have never left communication. It has been an institutional communication in three phases. March especially, the TV was the most efficient one also to support the e-commerce. So we shifted the attribution model there because we had an important number of viewership and then investors who left. So we had very important favorable conditions, and we provided a more institutional communication with an action point on the online. I don't know whether you saw that it is not by chance that for three weekly campaigns, we also had Monclick on TV with a different ad because it was the most efficient way and it was also working on the high range component of the panel. So generally speaking, digital marketing and the performance component is proportional to the results that we are obtaining. So no, it cannot be squeezed. If we squeezed it, we would do something bad, because even these days, when stores are achieving good results, the online is still very high. It is as if a new bracket of customers had accessed this channel. So there is no change in the online revenues. In April and May, online, the ATL was downsized, but we were still maintained communication. Where do we fund this presence? Of course, the paper leaflets, because paper leaflets in the first phase was not even possible to be distributed, handed out. But we actually noticed something very interesting. If before 83% of consumers actually gather information before making a purchase, now it's much closer to 100%. And consumers are getting used to the digital leaflet, which means removing press, print, sorry, and distribution costs, and adding a small share to buy the digital space. So to summarize, marketing can definitely follow the performance of revenues, because at least for the next month, we will not be printing out and handing out anything. And this funds, once again, a presence of the ATL part that is also useful for the e-commerce. And this enables the e-commerce results only according to the performance. And the big online performance is supported by organic traffic, 50%, which is not the sheer presence on the research engines. I hope I have answered your question. Yes, thank you. Luigi Fusco speaking, logistics. So your question was, what if this the incidence of cost increase? If we increase the home delivery, it is a cost of service. So it is a cost that will increase, but it will increase hand in hand with an increase of revenues. Like Bruna was saying, if this process goes on of non-cannibalization but addition, this is definitely a very positive trend. You should also remember that we will reopen the click and collect and further services in the stores. If there is an increase in delivery, triple digit in March, quadruple digit in April, considering this, we think that it's good news. Our volumes are increasing, so we will have to increase our service capacity. I hope I've answered your question. If I may, online acceleration. Can this mean, well, maybe not from now, that you maybe change your presence in the physical stores and optimize your platform in your DOS? And if you can give us a confirmation. Whether we will see the effect of cost cutting when, second or third quarter? CFO speaking. Of course, the impact of cost cutting will be seen in the first quarter already. Obviously, the fact that the actions put in place take time to be completed. You see, there are negotiations ongoing. They cannot end on a specific date. They are ongoing. In some cases, they will be closed in the first quarter. In some other cases, in the second or even further. So it is a work in progress. That's the way the cost cutting works. And of course, the more we move ahead, the more important it will be. So, and then DOS, if we will change maybe then the evolution of DOS because of the COVID. For the time being, we might change the type of services. We have to manage, like Bruna says, a world in a queue that will happen after the COVID. So we have to change our processes. We have to digitalize them and simplify life to our customers. We have a true conciergerie activity at the stores to manage the entrance at the store and the distribution to the different departments. Whether we cut some stores, we will see at the end of the year. It's too early now to check on this. The first results of a return to normalcy are very reassuring. Let's see how it goes. At this moment in time, we can collect more consumers because of our formula and size, and this is important because definitely if you have to welcome customers in 1,500 or 4,000 square meters. I'd like to add, the CEO speaking, that we, as a leading company, we need to have an acquisition policy. And we also need a rationalization policy. That's what we did last year with opening 18 stores and closing down 6. This is part of our DNA. It is difficult to make predictions, but we can guess that this crisis, like the past ones, if we are good at understanding the market and the change of consumers, I think that this can give us more opportunities than our competitors. I expect us to gain market share, but I think that considering, you see, we don't have to necessarily change the business model. Now, there are companies that must change their business model. We don't have to do that. We maybe have to speed it up because we had already many initiatives in the pipeline, but now we have to do everything in a shorter time. We are also having some difficulties. But I think that the best answer to this is that we think that 2020 can bring Unieuro a better market share. Then we don't know what the market will be like, because this market has never basically followed the GDP performance. It's always been pretty independent from the GDP. But with a GDP that is -8, -10, you see, of course, we live in Italy, but we believe that we can gain market shares in the future. Because our competitors are struggling. Thank you. For the time being, there are no more questions. Very well. So I would like to thank everybody for the time you devoted to us. It's a pity that we had to discuss the current situation at Q&A when we had just presented the best financial statements in the history of Unieuro. But I think that this is just the start that will give our company a lot of soundness, deriving also from the results that we just commented on. Thank you very much. And speak to you soon.